Blog Talk Radio.
Well, for the past 10 years, the struggle in America has been confined to what has been projected to the public as a civil rights struggle. And in that context, it has remained a domestic problem. It has remained within the jurisdiction of the United States. And it has, and as such, it has been impossible for the Afro-American, for American Negroes, to try and enlist the support of other dark-skinned people who are being oppressed the world over in that struggle. And the difference now in the direction that the struggle is taking, from the direction that the struggle has been going in the past, there are many of our people who are thinking more deeply and more broadly, and are beginning to see the importance of lifting it out of the national context or out of the domestic context or beyond the jurisdiction of the United States government. And the only way this can be done is by internationalizing the problem and putting it at a level where it can be taken into the United Nations. And then all of the other independent nations on this earth can involve themselves in our struggle and support us. And the only way by this, of which this can be done, instead of it being called civil rights in the future, we're going to have to label it a human rights struggle or the struggle for human rights. And as such, we can then take it into the United Nations through the avenues that have been set up by the United Nations Commission on Human Rights. We can take our problem before the United Nations in the same manner that the problem of South Africa, Angola, Mozambique, Hungary, the Arab refugee problem, it becomes a world problem. And as a world problem, then the Afro-American or the so-called Negroes equal results, because it's not left up to the one who's responsible for it anymore, but it's put at a level where the whole can see that our plight is wrong. It's put in our path and the past. It also makes a difference in the leadership. Those who have been posing as leaders of our people in America in the past, they can pose on this local stage where Uncle Sam is the master of the show and can prop them up and make them look good or make them look better than they actually are by giving them token gains and building them up an image. But when they step onto the international stage or the world stage, then Uncle Sam can't prop them up anymore. And their ability or lack of ability becomes exposed. And if they can lead us forward, they remain leaders. But if they can't, then they have to step aside, and more qualified and bona fide leaders step up from the masses of our people, and then we get more, we get faster progress, we get more results. The Afro-American or American Negro intellectual permitted himself to be used in a way that wasn't really beneficial to the overall Afro-American struggle. But I think today that these intellectuals have begun to undertake a new appraisal of the problem, looking at it as it actually is, and are beginning to see it more in the international context and the relation that it has with the African struggle. And the African intellectual is beginning to look at the problem in the African context and see that what might be good in one country, in order for it to be used in another country, has to be rearranged. You take African socialism. Many of the African intellectuals that have analyzed the approach of socialism are beginning to see where the African has to use a form of socialism that fits into the African context, whereas the form that is used in a European country might be good for that particular European country. It doesn't fit as well into the African context. So I think the African intellectual is making that contribution, and he's making it well.
And yes, greetings to everyone. Welcome to the segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Doris Chi, also known as Dr. Filet. And of course, we just heard some very timely and profound words from none other than El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, also of course known as Malcolm X. As we prepare to commemorate Malcolm X's Earth Day, May 19th. We're going to begin to focus a little more on some of his teachings and certainly some of his work. This coming weekend, MWM, it's Human Rights Commission, which is also, shall we say, a self-determination slash human rights slash justice commission, will be holding its, I believe, fourth virtual reparatory justice conference that will take place this weekend, starting on Thursday, which I believe is May 14th through the 16th, through Sunday. And this session will, of course, begin to introduce the We Charge Genocide 21 agenda, as it is in particularly for 21-22. Now, the We Charge Genocide 21 project, of course, officiates a really 3 to 5 year program that is designed to really make some serious headway in regards to reparations, retribution, restitution, and of course, you know, what we say is a form of restoration. And so we call this the R4J program, and we're going to go more into that this weekend, along with some of the various aspects of the We Charge Genocide 21. You're going to now be able to get access very soon to our new website, which is actually already there, but it's still under construction in terms of making certain that we're able to obtain the 1 million signatures that we are planning to take to the United Nations at the end of this year. So for certain, in December, there will be at least a 400-plus delegation, official delegation, that will be delivering our first 1 million signatures to the United Nations. Prior to that, the signatures or the letter of intent, which is what will accompany the 1 million signatures, the letter of intent will actually be sent to various nations, as well as other human rights groups and entities throughout the U.S. and parts of the world, in preparation for the taking of the information to the United Nations Human Rights Commission. And so we're going to give you more information about that this coming weekend when we do the virtual conference. For those who have not joined the Black Human Rights Network or Collective, you may want to consider doing so, because that will be the only way that you will be able to get access to certain information, certain other kinds of materials and various other things that will be relevant to what's getting ready to happen. The other thing, too, that this weekend will do is serve as a not only information but organizing session for those who are going to be organizing in their communities in preparation for the mass assembly that will take place at the United Nations later this year again. Now, that will take place before December. December is going to be the 400-plus delegation, so it will only be the delegation that will go to the United Nations in December. However, a mass assembly will take place prior to that. That mass assembly will also be at the United Nations, and it will serve as what we call the Declaration of Self-Determination. And so, again, this weekend we'll give you more detail and information about that, in addition to other things that is relevant to the We Charge Genocide 21 project. Again, the website will go up officially on May 19th. It is under construction. It is there presently. However, it is being, you know, really brought up to where it needs to be. And it just so happens that one of the key people who is assisting us in making certain that we're able to obtain those 1 million signatures in a way that we envision, Brother Michael Thompson, will be joining us a little later on tonight. He is one of the primary engineers who is creating for us what they call some kind of back end or whatever, so that we can have folks to go to the website and make certain that they sign on to the letter of intent. This is not the petition yet. This is the letter of intent that will be taken to the United Nations to notify them officially that the Recharge Genocide 21 project is underway. Okay. And again, Brother Michael is also going to tell us about an exciting network, an exciting outlet for Black folks. Now, there's been many complaints about Facebook and all these other kinds of things, YouTube and whatever, that, you know, has really been either censoring or blocking or you know, just whatever in terms of certain types of information getting through to our people, to the masses. Well, guess what? Finally, there is something that is coming that is just for you and I and others that is so positive, so productive. You're going to hear about it tonight. It's called Our Black Truth, and it is going to compete with Facebook and other kinds of networking outlets. And I'm saying social justice because this was going to be an excellent, excellent tool for those who are dealing with so-called social justice issues, activists, organizers. He's going to tell you all about it. Again, this is dynamic. This is incredible. We finally are going to have something just for us when it comes to social media. So again, Brother Thompson will be joining us, Michael Thompson, that is, will be joining us very shortly. But first up is none other than our own sister, Tawanda Jones, is going to be coming in a few moments, giving us that Be More report, but definitely letting us know what's going on with now in a powerful and necessary campaign that is going to make certain that the case is open, or the you know, that justice can really be brought forward when it comes to her brother. And of course, this will have an impact on many others as well. We're talking about getting the case reopened. With all the work that Sister Tawanda and her crew has done over the years, certainly it warrants case is reopened. The evidence that she has been able to uncover in this case, in this murder, this just has to happen. And so again, with the We Charge Genocide 21 campaign, we're going to make sure that it happens, because this campaign, this We Charge Genocide 21, is going to give us access to a lot of things that we didn't have access to before, including eyes and ears, including media outlets and so forth, because this is the 70th year commemoration of the great Paul Robeson taking the petition to the United Nations in December 1951. And here we are representing, truly representing, in a way that we know that, you know, Paul Robeson, William Patterson, and others would definitely be proud, because we are going to do it in the way that they gave us to do, the examples that they showed us. And so the We Charge Genocide 21 project represents Paul Robeson, William Patterson, of course, Mother Callie House, as we have said many times, and certainly Malcolm X, who, and as you heard when we opened, in the last year of his life, 2 years actually, but certainly in the last year, was doing what? Fighting for us to have a voice in the international community as it pertained to the violation of our human rights. And so we owe it to him, we owe it to those before him, we owe it to ourselves, and certainly to the generations to come, to do this type of thing that is really going to not only demonstrate what has happened in our response to it for these 400 plus years, but that is really going to be a game changer all across the board. And so with that said, we are getting ready to bring in Sister Tawanda Jones. Again, the We Charge Genocide 21 project is totally, totally in support of the reopening, the murder of our brother Tyrone West. Of course, you all may have heard that there's also talk about reopening the case of Tamir Rice. But we're saying all of these cases, all of these murders of these cops, particularly the ones that clearly can show the evidence of what has happened, they must be reopened. And of course, there cannot be this issue of double jeopardy or whatever. We know that there's no statute of limitations or murder, but we know also that, you know, in some instances they may talk about some kind of double jeopardy or whatever. Well, you know, laws must be changed if it does warrant them to be changed, as we know. And so when we talk about reform, for those who talk about reform, we have to talk about dismantling, getting rid of certain things before there can be real, not just reform, but some real kinds of justice. So we're going to get ready to bring in Sister Tawanda in. And before we do, again, family, we want to remind everyone that you definitely need to be supporting the We Charge Genocide 21 Project now. Again, in a few months, we will be going to the United Nations with a mass assembly that will begin to make certain that in our communities nationwide, that there's information circulating on the grassroots level. Now that this corona thing is kind of, you know, subsiding somewhat, well, we're going to make sure we're in our communities. We're going to make sure our people know about what your human rights is. And again, when it's time to sign on to the letter of intent, people will not do it blindly. They will not do it like they're sheeple. They will do it because they have a clearer understanding, overstanding of what we're talking about, why we're talking about it, and so forth and so on, because we're going to take the time and the effort to make sure that information is circulated in our communities on the ground level. This is not like other things. We are not just having people to go sign a petition and that's it, and then collect your data and keep it moving. No. This is a 3 to 5 year project, and we're going to break it down for you as to what it is and why it is, including a reparatory justice war chest. We're going to tell you all about that this weekend when we do our virtual conference. We're going to start introducing the ambassadors for the 21 points. There are 21 points that, of course, include our political prisoners. With that said, you do know that recently there has been an announcement, and hopefully we'll have Chairman Friend on during the virtual conference. We're working on that, but there has been an announcement that there is now going to be a further look at the COINTELPRO administration or action as it pertains to the murder of Chairman Fred Hampton. So we're saying that was one of our, or is one of the We Charge Genocide 21 platform, COINTELPRO. Yes, we said it was genocide. Lastly, before we bring in Sister Tawanda, this coming week, of course, May 13th, will mark the anniversary or the commemoration of the bombing here in Philadelphia. And during the virtual conference, we are going to have a session that we call From Tulsa to Philadelphia. We're going to talk about the bombing that took place almost 100 years ago in, of course, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And then we're going to also talk about the bombing that took place here in Philadelphia on May 13, 1985. Again, we charge genocide. So stay tuned for that. I'm going to give you some more information about that very shortly. But for right now, we're going to go to our live line, and we're going to talk to our sister Tawanda Jones is in the house, and her mic is now open. Hey, sis, how you doing tonight?
Hey, how are you, sis? How are you?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. You know what I always say, as long as I can wake up and do this work and see that we're making some headway, it's always a good day.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Ashe.
Yes, yes, yes. So listen, before you give us a report, I happened to run across something that I said, wow, this is kind of interesting. Did you hear something about supposedly in a suburban area of Baltimore where the cops was apparently chasing somebody and four people ended up dead?
Yeah, so I heard of it a little bit because, like I said, when they do stuff like that, they try to push it under the rug real quickly. So when I saw it on the news, for some odd reason, our channel went out. Like, it completely went out. And then when it came back on, they said it was going to bring it back on, and I didn't hear any more. And I'm like, what in the world? Like, what? So, yeah. So if you have that, please send it to me because I saw something like that. And like I said, they were saying that they were having technical difficulties, and I'm thinking like, yeah, right. But, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I will certainly send it to you because, I mean, I'm almost sure they were black folks, but it doesn't really say. But either way, it's kind of interesting. I'll just read the first part, and then I'll send it to you. It says four people were killed and at least one was injured in a shooting and fire early Saturday morning in Maryland, according to authorities who said the suspect was shot by police and was among the dead. So.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like I said, when they brought it to us, they were having technical difficulties. So I'm like, okay. So, yeah, interesting. But, yeah, I'll definitely find out what's going on, and I'll definitely get back to you on that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, because I'm sure looking at some of these names, you know, Kwaku, this was somebody who lived in the neighborhood who gave some kind of, response when he said it was not surprising. I'm like, okay. So so we'll hold off on this until next week, sis. And then we'll go more into it because we'll have a lot more information because it really didn't give us a lot, even in the article, but I'm going to send that to you shortly.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Okay, one other thing I want to just ask your opinion on before we go into what you're going to share with us. Did you by any chance hear about the story where there was a man executed like 4 years ago? And just recently, the DNA indicated that, oh, guess what? It wasn't him.
What? No, I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah.
No. Wow.
Yep. It just happened in Arkansas. And he was executed in April of 2017. His name was Liddell Lee. And it said new DNA evidence on a murder weapon points to a different man than the one who was executed for the crime.
Yeah, you know, they've been killing us and lynching us in trees for over 400,000+ years. So, you know, it never amazes me. And I done seen so many people get put on a death penalty, you know, get given death.
And
for nothing, for no reason. You know, they can have all the evidence. Like, we didn't even campaign to save some of our brother lives and stuff like that when they had, you know, new suspect. I forgot that black brother the last time we were talking a while back. I think it was like 2 years ago on your show, and we were trying to call in and save his life, and they had new evidence, and
yeah,
white woman, you know, said that, you know, it wasn't him and all that kind of stuff. And he was just at the wrong place at the wrong time, and they still killed him. It might be even the same person. It's just utterly ridiculous. That's what they do to us. It's just sad.
Yep, no doubt about it. Well, again, this is another conversation that we need to have. And certainly, you know, the issue of the death penalty is something, again, that we need to discuss more in the black community, because there's just not enough discussion about it. And we need to come to some kind of, you know, if not decision, at least position about how we need to proceed in the future, given the fact that we are seeing how there's so many just in this past 2 years or so who have been released after it's been found that they were unjustly incarcerated after serving 23 and 30 years. Oh, then they find out, they weren't the ones.
Mm-hmm. And then they don't tell you the part about them being tortured and they'll never be the same. They mentally gone. Like, it was just a project experiment that they do on us, you know, drive them insane, let them lose their loved ones. They go in there like babies, literally babies. Like, you think about this, sis, and it just kind of dawned on me. It's just like, you know, with, like, teenagers. You got to be 17 years or older just to buy an R-rated ticket to the movies. But yet, a year later, at the age of 18, they can give out, they're giving out babies, and some of them even younger than that. They're giving them life plus. But you can't even go and buy a damn movie ticket rated R unless you're 17 years and older, but yet they give you life in prison. It's sickening. It's sickening. That's what they do to us. So we really need to make a stand and you know, we need to do more than just sit on our couch and complain and, you know, we just need to keep on putting our bodies on the line because they're going to keep on doing what we allow them to do. And that's just it. Yep.
Yep, no doubt. No doubt. Well, again, that's definitely a forum that we're going to have in the very near future. And with that, come up with some kind of at least potential or proposed plan of action. Because, again, we can't continue to just have conversations. We got to come up with some action steps. And you all people know that that's the reality because that's what you're doing. With that said, my sister, I'm going to yield and to give the mic to you. And please share with us what it is that you're presently working on.
Okay, so pretty much for those that don't know, this has been a long, tireless fight, and it hasn't ended, and I'm praying that we get some type of accountability. Mm-hmm. But basically, on July the 18th, 2013, my brother was executed in broad daylight with video footage and everything, witnesses, and I'm talking about here in Baltimore before the uprising, before Freddie Gray, and before, unfortunately, like all the names that you're hearing about on a national level where people are actually taking to the streets saying, oh, we're not going to, you know, tolerate this foolishness. But me and my family supporters, we've been out there going on 8 years. This West Wednesday was 406 weeks nonstop of just holding folks accountable. So my brother was beat to death. He was pepper. He was pulled out of my vehicle by his dreadlocks, and he was tasered in his neck 4 times. And then, let me tell you, it was 2 killer cops that first pulled him over for no reason. They were a part of the gun trace task force, and that's the elite gun trace task force that was going around robbing and doing all type of heinous acts under the color of law and whatnot. And they are also, to me, responsible for killing Detective Souter, but that's a whole nother story. But nevertheless, my brother was pulled over by this gang. The first two was Officer Ruiz and Chapman. They were the two a part of this, you know, gang and whatnot. And they pretty much stereotyped my brother because he was in a green Mercedes Benz, which was mine, and he wasn't breaking any laws. And they, Ruiz basically pulled him out. And I'm sorry, Chapman pulled him out. The white cop pulled him out by his dreadlocks. And then Ruiz started tasing him in his times. And they started killing him. And at this point, my brother didn't even know why he was being murdered. So he's at this point screaming for his life, running, please help me, call 911. He's yelling Trayvon Martin. And then witnesses described that like at least 15 more police officer cars pull up, and at that moment they started beating my brother from one side of the street to the other. They put him, after they beat him for over 18 minutes, they hog tied him and put him face down on the ground. A hog tie position is when you're handcuffed pretty much, and your arms and your feet are meeting in the center of your back. So he's face down like that, dying. Witnesses said he was like gasping like a fish out of water, you know, and just like, you know, needed medical treatment, attention right then and there. But what did they let happen? No, the things that followed is really disturbing. An officer from Morgan State University crashed up his vehicle just to come kill one unarmed man. He didn't try to stop anything. What he did, when I think of Derek Chauvin and the George Floyd case, who sat on George Floyd's neck, you know, with his knee kneeling on George Floyd's neck for over 9 minutes, this is what this animal, David Lewis, did after the 11 to 15 maniacs beat, pepper sprayed, tased, hit him with batons, kicked him, did everything. Like, no one could have survived this beating. But then, if that wasn't heinous enough, this 320-pound animal, David Lewis from Morgan State University, knelt on my brother's neck and had all of his weight in my brother's back, in a kneeling position, until my brother was dead. And then, if that wasn't enough, no one ever called my family. Had it not been for the grace of God, while my brother was being murdered, within a half hour after he dropped me off to go give a young lady a ride, he worked hard that day and everything, but long story short, you know, God let me know first that something wasn't right, because I was feeling pain in my neck. My body was hurting, but it felt like somebody broke my neck. That's the type of pain that I experienced. And long story short, I began to call my family. I called my brother. He didn't answer. So at this moment, I'm freaking out. And then it came to pass that on the 10 o'clock news, we saw a sobbing witness saying how they beat him to death for no reason, you know. And if that wasn't enough, we went down a homicide. We tried to get answers. They was like, well, your brother's at the medical examiner's office, you know. We'll send some detectives out to your house the next day. We're like, oh, wow, you know, this is horrible. And long story short, the very next day when the detectives came in my family home, it was three of them I will never forget. They already came in telling us what the autopsy was going to display 154 days later. Literally, he's murdered on the 18th. His autopsy was supposed to have been done on the 19th. And when they're walking in my family home at 11 o'clock in the morning, they pretty much are saying, you know, Mr. West's autopsy is going to be performed today, you know, by David Fowler and Pamela Southall and things like that. And we're going to have the you know, his autopsy done around 2:30, but we want to make sure Mr. West didn't have a bad heart. We want to make sure that the heat didn't contribute with Mr. West's death. We want to go over all these things. And it's ironically that after 154 days, they told us this report and gave us a partial flimsy autopsy that which consists of only 7 pages, saying that my brother died from a heart attack and dehydration, and that was exacerbated by him having, like I said, this bad heart. He had cardiac arrhythmia, and it was due to him having a bad heart, and pretty much that he was having some type of drugs in his system, and they gave him exuberant strength, and, you know, he basically died of a heart attack on the scene. His heart was enlarged. It was so big, and he just straight died. And I'm like, you got to be freaking kidding me. And we wasn't going for that. And me, like I said, I don't know if I said it, but they literally hit my brother's body for 5 days. We couldn't get it from the medical examiner's office. When we went there that next, like literally that day my brother was murdered, we wanted to see our loved one. They're like, we're not a funeral home. You get a funeral home of your choosing, and then you can get your brother's body. But we cannot let you guys in here to see him. We're not a funeral home. So immediately we paid a funeral home to go and get our loved one. You know, they was like, after his autopsy will be done, at that moment, you guys can get your loved one. And sure enough, his autopsy was done at 2:30. They did not give us our brother body until 5 days later, and they told the funeral home that they did not deliver bodies on the weekend. And I'm like, what the hell? And the funeral home said, we never heard of this in over all the years we've been working at this funeral home. This is really weird. So immediately I'm on it, like, well, okay, make sure when my brother gets to you guys, you call me first, because we didn't get a chance to pray with him. I want to pray with him type of thing. You know, just let us know. Don't put no embalming fluid. Don't touch my brother body, things of that nature. Long story short, to speed it up, when I saw my brother's body. To me, it looked like someone reconstructed his face because they had the nerve after someone is beaten. I don't know who would survive a beating like that or would be beat to death and have a smile on their face. You go out in a horrific way. You're beat to death, pepper sprayed, blinded, tasered with all these vaults of, you know, electrician going through your body, and you got a damn smile on your face. So I knew something wasn't right. And for the autopsy report to not have any type of pictures, photos, or anything. The only photos we had was ID photos of toe tags, him with the hospital gown, but we couldn't see anything beyond that. But I had my proof. I had my – so immediately, like I said, my family was bothered. So we started something called West Wednesday, where every week – that's why we started West Wednesday. You're like, you're not going to allow my loved one and things like that. The truth came out more and more. No one listened. We would be at the medical examiner's office doing protests. But I'm like, that is not good enough, you know, because to me, if you don't apply more actions to these devils that you're fighting, you will get nothing done. So I had to literally, in my own money, no one, I didn't go through GoFundMe. No one gave me any damn thing. Out of my own account, I had $1,000 to have my brother's body exhumed. And I did that around about, I want to say 2016. It was 3 years after my brother was murdered. It was in 2016. I'll never forget, because our lawyers at the time went out. The prosecutor said he couldn't prosecute anyone, and he took 5 months to tell my family that foolishness, because they said he based it upon the autopsy and said that my brother, you know, besides having a smaller bruising on his forehead, you know, that he had a heart attack and died from bad health, so he couldn't prosecute nobody, which we knew was a damn lie. You know, so I got my brother's body exhumed in hopes that, you know, the truth would come out. And, you know, Marilyn Mosley at the time, you know, who had just came to the office, I'm like, I put it all on her table and said, I want you to look into this. But she still never called me back. I don't know what the hell's going on. But we basically got two different pathologists to basically conclude the same conclusion, and that is that my brother was murdered. He died from positional asphyxia, and that means that he suffocated. He was dead, like he was smothered to death. You know, it's horrible, you know, and for them to lie like that. But interestingly, David Fowler, one of the head pathologist at the medical exam office, who I told you that me and my family have been protesting for going on 8 years, pretty much threw his own damn self under the bus, because recently, so now he's not working for the medical examiner's office anymore, but he had the nerve, and I vomit in my mouth when I saw this animal go and testify at George Floyd, you know, trial, to say the same damn thing. Like, he didn't change. Only thing he did was change Tyrone West to George Floyd. That's the only thing. He said George Floyd had a big heart. He blamed everything but Derek's knee inside of George Floyd's neck. He blamed. He said he might inhale some type of carbon monoxide. Like, he went on and said that, you know, George Floyd had drugs in his, you know, body, and he had a heart. It's like the same exact foolishness. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I was so irate. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I wound up talking to a reporter that was covering the trials, and I told him, I said, this is a whole replay of what happened to my brother. And I'm like, early on in the George Floyd case, when I first heard about what the medical examiner's office down there was saying, I been reached out to George Floyd on that very day. He said, well, can you send me the proof, Miss Jones? I said, I can. I sent him a proof, the proof that I hit George Floyd's brother up via Instagram, and I'm like, please do not let them walk you through this foolishness. You have to go right now while the time is early. Get a second autopsy report. They did the same thing to my brother. You don't know me. And I started telling them about Tyrone West. But long story short, when David Fowler got on that stand, threw his own damn self under the bus, had it not been for 138 pathologists around the world wrote in a very important letter about him and saying, no, this is not right. Like, something's not right. And then even after my brother, unfortunately, because if you get away with murder and you get away with covering up bloody murder, you think you're good at this. You know, so it was another young kid named Antoine Black, who's 19 years old. again, when he was murdered, he was strangled out right in front of his mother's face. He was even tased too. He came back to the conclusion that the same thing, that Antoine Black had a bad heart. Like, are you freaking kidding me? And I was irate, and I reached out to Antoine Black. And anybody, when I say my track book record speaks for itself, everybody that this animal did that foolishness to, I personally reached out and said, no, don't. They did that to my brother. And thank God for social media where you can find people and send messages. But that's what I did. I'm like, you need to go after them type of thing. This is horrible. But now, because this animal threw his own self under the bus, now the attorney general said he's coming in and said he's going to now investigate all of the deaths, the in-custody deaths that was under David Fowler's watch. That was under David Fowler's watch starting from, I believe it was 2011 all the way up to 2016 or 17 or something like that. But they're going to investigate all those. And my brother is number one on the list. Number one. You better believe that. Number one. I got definitely video footage of me going down for protesting every week. I got letters where as though I tried to get my brother's death, like, you know, like the findings, like they was like, well, you can appeal the cause and manner of the death, you know, and I wrote to them, sent them stuff. They still came back with their foolishness, but we serve a good God that watches everything, that watches everything. And right now that, and then I sent you something. It was a law professor student that said that they were on the civilian review board that basically investigate, you know, police officers' misconduct, and they said they saw all that horrible stuff that was done to my brother, and they was like, this is the time now. This is to say, this is the time now that we not only get Mr. West's case reopened, but these killer cops get prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. So that just was posted literally on Friday. So it's definitely truly on and popping, and they're even asking people now for community input. They got to June the 7th to write the attorney general and things like that, and they're definitely looking into everything. But you already know I'm going to make them run wild with this. I've never played about my brother from day one, so it's truly on and popping, truly on and popping. Yep.
I know that's right. All right, mm-hmm. All right. So Sister Talanda, how can folks get involved? What can we do?
So what y'all can do, please, now, right now, you guys can, matter of fact, I will send you the, well, you can write, it's a guy named Frost. He's the investigator. He's the attorney general. You guys can write a letter to the attorney general, Mr. Frost. I think his name is Brian Frost, but you can write him and tell them that right now we demand that they reopen Tyrone West's case effective immediately. Reopen Mr. West's case. That's what you can do. Write Mr. Frost. He's the attorney general. Please write him ASAP and tell him reopen that case ASAP. Yep, that's what y'all can do. And if anybody
okay.
wants more details, to email me at Miss, that's MISSTAWANDA 17 at yahoo.com.
All right. Wonderful. Okay. And of course, West Wednesday, let folks know how they can connect to West Wednesday every week. And what week is this coming up, Sister Talanda?
This will be 407 weeks this West Wednesday, and I plan on
wow.
being at the so we've been online due to the pandemic and whatnot, but recently, like the week before last, we went down to the medical examiner's office, and we were back online this week, but I plan on every other week going back to this medical examiner's office, where this is the time. Like, you know, I love being out in the streets. I've been, like, before the pandemic happened, since, you know, I didn't care if it was a rainstorm. I didn't care if it was burning up hot. The weather did not dictate whether West Wednesday was going to happen or not. If God gave me the body, gave me the strength to wake up, you know I was there. You know I was there. I don't care what the weather was. We was there. If I had to be out there by myself, literally, we was out there. So, yeah, but they could definitely support. They can go and hit us on any social media platform. All you have to do is hit the hashtag and West Wednesday as one word, hashtag West Wednesday. You can see us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, or go to Justice for Tyrone West on Facebook, and you can definitely see us on Justice for Tyrone West on Instagram. Yep.
All right. Woo. 407 weeks. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's just, I mean, see, this is what we're talking about, consistency, tenacity. I mean, this is what it takes to get things done. And look now what has happened. Needless to say, all of the things that have been accomplished over these past weeks, these 400-something weeks, the things you all have been able to get literally done, you know, mm-hmm. as you're fighting for your brother, there's so many other things that have been accomplished as well, you know. So it just shows that by continuing to do what we know we have to do, there's a lot of other things in the interim as we're, you know, looking for the other kinds of things that's really going to make a change. There's still some other things that can, in fact, be accomplished. And that's, you know, that's a form of victory. Out of shadow of a doubt, you know, you all have been able to get legislation passed, and you know, mm-hmm. you've been able to create awareness. Of course, that, you know, you've traveled extensively, and I mean, you know, mm-hmm. and connecting with people all over the country and parts of the world, actually. So, mm-hmm. you know, it certainly brings us to this point now, Sister Tawanda, where I definitely see it happening. I see it happening.
Oh, yeah. I see. I'm right there with you, Tustin. I see it being a real big deal. And to me, I think this is going to be the turning point that people on the national, worldwide level can actually be able to see and pick up this platform, that if something happens to your loved one, and that's why I never was in it for no money. You already know money, not about income, it's about the outcome. You know, West Wednesday is just a straight started off the blood of my brother. Nothing more, nothing less. Like, we ain't getting no hush money, no rush money, nothing. You know, nobody funding us, nothing. We just out there just because we are my brother's keeper, and we don't want this to happen. But I just want to be the voice to let everybody know, if something happens to your loved one, never, ever give up and always stay on it. No matter what, they will try to shut you up. They do all type of tactics and forms and all types of stuff. But no matter what, you have to stay true to it. And it's hard. It's hard. Like, the most hardest time that I found, literally, with all the hell of a nightmare that I've been through, with different things happening to my vehicle, different all type of lies that have been surfaced about me, just all types of stuff of going through this every day. But the worst thing that ever happened to me was when one of my loved ones was killed on a West Wednesday morning on January the 20th, and we still don't have no answers. So to have to push past all of that and fight and scream and holler and not be heard, and sometimes you feel like you're being heard, but then other times you're being ignored. But I'm just telling you, like, no matter what, you have to stand strong. You have to stay focused on your loved one. You can't get out there and worry about what's somebody doing, what's somebody not doing, what's the right thing to say, what's the right
thing
to
go
by your heart on it and keep it moving. Do not stop. It's almost as if you're trapped in a desert somewhere with no water, no transportation. If you stop, you could die. And that's how I feel. I'm not going to stop until all these killer cops are in cell blocks. I don't say it because it sounds cute. I say it because I mean it, because enough is enough, period.
All right, family, you all heard it as usual. Our Sister Tawanda brings it real and raw, and we, of course, have to step up our game, our responses to these things, and really do. I mean, come on, what will it take to send an email, a fax, a letter to who? Sister Tawanda, tell them that name again.
His name is Mr. Frost. Mr. Frost. Matter of fact, hold on real 1 second. I'm just going to pull up the correct name so that way everybody can know. Give me like 2 seconds, and I'll give it
okay.
to you. 2 seconds.
And family, while we're waiting for Sister Tawanda, we want you to know in a few minutes we're going to talk to Brother Michael Thompson again.
You know, it's so important that we have our own way of making certain that our information can get circulated. Well, guess what? We got it now. It's coming. And in a few minutes, you're going to hear the big launching that's getting ready to happen in a week or so. And also, of course, with MWM, we're going to introduce our We Charge Genocide 21 website is coming for you to sign on to the letter of intent. That's going to be historic, family. The first 1,000,000 signatures that will be taken to the United Nations charging genocide. Now, if y'all don't want to be a part of that, I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, Sister Tawanda, did you find it yet?
Yes, I found it. Sure. Thank you so
okay,
much.
There you go.
So they can send their letters, and I'm asking Lottie, Dottie, and everybody, please. It like a stamp is, I don't know how much a stamp is. It ain't no more than, like, I want to say a dollar at the most. But anyway, please just send a letter to the Attorney General. And just speaking of dollars, please support my sister. Every Tuesday is $2 Tuesday. Y'all got to get with the program. If you miss the $2 Tuesday, you can send a 20, a 30, whatever you want to send when you get the money. Just hook out some stuff because she's doing the work too. She's been doing the work. But anyway, the letters are going to Attorney General Brian Frost. Brian Frost, the address is 200 St. Paul Place, Baltimore, Maryland, 21202. And his name is Brian Frost. Brian Frost. Yep. Please
okay.
send those letters.
And so this is what we'll do as part of the WCG 21. Of course, that's We Charge Inside 21. Mr. Tawanda, let's talk tomorrow or Tuesday, and let's do like a letter, a template that just, you know, says like a couple of sentences. And what we'll do mm-hmm. is have that available for people, and they can just get it and still put their name in. Just put their name in. It'll already be ready for them. Because, see, I know how our people are, some of them. So we need to create mm-hmm. the template so that all they got to do is fill in their information and send it. And we'll have the email address for the Attorney General as well. So that way they won't even have to send a stamp. They can email it to the Attorney General and send you a copy. How about that?
Yes. Oh, yeah, and then also I'm glad you said that we got a template that we're asking.
Okay.
I wrote my one letter, but we have a template where as though, like, all the people that support me, all they got to do is just send me through their email.
Wonderful. All right. There we go.
And we'll add them to the list because we can already send this to the media so the media can pick up all the people that are supporting us. So we're not playing with them at all. We coming strong.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. So send me that template so that we can send it out to our network. And again, we're getting ready to connect with a powerful network called Our Black Truth. We're getting ready to have our own kind of Facebook network.
Nice.
You're going to hear Brother tell us about that in a few minutes. And guess what? Again, we know we can get 1,000,000 subscribers. And that's what the mission mm-hmm. is going to be in these next couple of months. So, Sister Tawanda, always thank you much, much, much. And we're going to get you back next week to make sure that we continue to push this campaign and also provide any updates and also about that story with the four folks that apparently were killed as a result of it seemed like the cops chasing the car. But anyway, we'll get back
absolutely.
To that next Saturday. All right, my sister, thank you much.
And I just sent you the copy of the letter, my queen. I just sent it to you.
Okay, great. And I'm going to send you shortly the story, you know, so you can see the article. And we'll talk more about it next week.
And thank you so much for bringing me on. Love you, sis. Thank you so much.
Back at you. All right. Peace to you.
Peace.
All right, family, we're getting ready to go now to our next guest for this evening. And again, it's such a pleasure to introduce a new Day family member who we are looking to work with. You know, definitely we're doing it now, but certainly in a more extensive manner in the near future. But certainly we appreciate the help of this brother's team, the work that they're doing on their own project, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. And again, family, we've heard a lot of folks complain over the years about Facebook, YouTube, and just, you know, this whole not having the capability to communicate our stuff without getting blocked, without getting censored or what have you. Well, that's about to change. And, you know, me and Sister Keisha and Brother Mike, we've been talking over the years, Brother Lee, about our own independent news and communications network. Well, this certainly is going to be a tool that we are going to be able to utilize in developing the next steps for the Black Asian News and Media Network, Thorough Black Talk, Community Cop, and others, okay? So y'all need to pay close attention to this because this right here is hot, and you all are getting it first, okay? So without further ado, I'd like to introduce to everyone Brother Michael Thompson from Our Black Truth. Hey, Brother Mike,
hey.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, sister. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I know you're excited. You got a launch coming up soon.
Yes, we do, on the 24th of May. It's been
Uh-oh.
A long time coming.
Woo. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Well, before we go into that, please tell our family, our New Day family, a little bit about you, who you are, what you do, and why.
All right. Well, my name is, again, Michael Thompson, and I am a entrepreneur, a technologist, and a solutions architect. And basically with all of that, I was able to develop a platform that's ours, 100% Black-owned and operated, that will rival Facebook and YouTube. Because myself personally, I got tired of hearing people talking about they've been censored, they've been kicked off the platform, and all that kind of stuff. And over the years, people have been coming to me and saying, Michael, why don't you build a platform? And I've been just putting it off ever since 2007, really. So just as I just kept hearing all these things going on, I decided to take my experience and build these platforms because I used to do work for the federal government, whereas I did cybersecurity for nuclear power plants. Did high-definition video for the Naval Research Lab and a whole bunch of other, government agencies. And then I also was the vice president at Verizon, responsible for their whole video initiative. So just those few experiences lends itself well to creating a platform to rival both Facebook and YouTube. And not only do I have a networking background, I also have a content background, whereas I was one of the first people to negotiate content deals with all the major movie studios like Warner Brothers, Sony, Disney, New Line, DreamWorks, you name it. I had all of them at my meeting talking to me about the platform that I developed for Verizon. So I figured if I could do it for them, I can do it for us. And that's where Our Black Truth came from. So long story short, I built these two platforms that we make the rules. And that's what I wanted. We make the rules because we always complain about getting kicked off, censored, and all that. But in reality, I think they can do it. It's their choice because it's their platform. And instead
that's
of complaining
right.
about it, we need to take responsibility and ownership and build our own. We need to do that, not just with technology, with everything. I don't care what it is. Build our own. You know, don't fight.
I know that's
today,
right. That's right.
right. So,
and of course, that's what MWM has advocated since the time of its conception. This is one of the reasons why we were targeted, and of course, you know, had attempted to be infiltrated and so forth, because we always advocated self-determination and demonstrated it, by the way. And so over these years, it's been really, really difficult to bring that kind of position forward, but we've done so, and that's why I know we were blessed to be able to connect with you. And again, big ups to Prince Raphael, who made that connection
yes.
for us. I will always, always embrace and love him. But this is important that we begin to have our own everything. And certainly with technology and certainly with social media, This is an excellent way to start. And by the way, family, this is also something from an economic standpoint, from a financial development standpoint, you're going to also be able to use this platform. So, Brother Michael, you got it. Tell our family a little bit about Our Black Truth.
Okay. Now, when Our Black Truth was developed, the whole premise of it was to build a platform that we own and control and to create effectively our own community in cyberspace. Because once we control our own community in cyberspace, our own nation in cyberspace, effectively, that's what it is, then once we get used to that and see just how well that's going, it can't do anything but spill out into real space because we'll see just how well it's going. The idea is to make this platform so that it does the opposite of what Facebook and all the rest do. And let me tell you what they do is people that use these platforms, they think that they're actually the user, but they're not. They're actually the product because your information is being sold to advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
So you are the product, and they sell all your information, and they're building profiles to actually predict how you will react in certain scenarios. All the information is there. The artificial intelligence is there to determine this. But what we do different is we don't collect all that data. We want this thing to be as private as possible. We collect just the basic information because we have to know your email address and phone number and all that for everything to work. But we don't analyze it. We don't sit back and sell any of this information or any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the first platform, which is called Our Black Truth Social. That's the equivalent of Facebook. And I'm just using Facebook because that's the closest thing I can think of to really describe it. So we have all the features and functionality of Facebook, but the differences come in whereas for every time you make a post, if someone likes your post or finds it informative or entertaining, instead of just leaving you a thumbs up or a heart, they can now leave you a tip. And the tips range anywhere from as little as $2, and it can go all the way up. I've seen people get tipped $25 or $50 just for a comment. Well, not a comment, but a post. But I just mentioned comment because you can also receive a tip for any comment that you make to a post. So if someone likes your comment or they find it funny, they can also tip you for that. So what that's doing is that's creating an economic ecosystem for our people. And once you do that, it kind of falls into the Black Wall Street model where the dollar stayed in the community multiple times before it left the community. But now in Black America, the dollar only stays in our community, from what I heard, less than 2 hours. And that's not good at all because it goes to other people's hands. But we need to keep it in our hands. Platform also has the ability for entrepreneurs to create stores and exchange money like that as well. So you have that piece of it. And then what we do in addition to it is social media is considered a behavioral modification tool, and they modify our behavior to the negative to make us think less of ourselves and to actually try to break us down. But what we do is we flip the script. We use it as a behavior modification tool to the positive, increasing our knowledge of self and the way that we look at one another and ourselves. That's what we're enhancing through education. So this platform does not tolerate any nude images, women twerking, men with their pants hanging off, anything that's demeaning or derogatory to us. We don't even tolerate that. We don't let it stay on the system. But what we do is when someone posts something that's against our rules and policies, instead of just kicking them off, we'll remove that post or that comment, and then we'll reach out to them and explain to them why we removed it and why we need to be better as a people, in hopes that educating themselves as to who we really are will just awaken that king or queen within them, and they start acting like it. So that one piece. And then we have our other platform, which is comparable to YouTube. And there we have subject matter experts from around the world in African history and African-American history. They upload content, and any content that's relevant to us gets uploaded by them for everybody else to consume. The reason why we do that is we want high-quality content that has been vetted by experts and uploaded, as opposed to just letting anyone upload. And because when that happens, you get garbage. So we keep quality control on the content. You can go to the site, you can type in your search words, and all the videos that meet that search parameter comes up, and you'll be getting true and accurate information. And just like on the other platform, you can leave tips for the videos, and you can also leave tips for the comments. So those are the two platforms called Our Black Truth.
Wow. Wow. I mean, it's way overdue, but here it is. Wow. So what do people need to do to subscribe or connect? What do they need to do?
Well, the easiest thing to do is you can go to the App Store or Google Play and type in Our Black Truth Social, and that will bring up the social app. And if you want the video app, you type in Our Black Truth Video, and then that will bring up the video app. So you just download the app and fill in the registration information, and then you're on. And then the nice thing that I forgot to mention about our platform is that right now it's in 47 countries. We have equipment in 47 countries and almost 200 different cities around the world. So this is a real enterprise-grade platform that will rival anything that's out here in the world today. Yes, it's smaller than Facebook. Yes, it's smaller than YouTube, but that's only temporary. And through this platform, we plan to make more black millionaires and billionaires than has ever been done before. That's our goal. And we can do it, because if you look at the richest black person in the country, I believe that's, I think his name is Rob Smith out of Texas, or either, I forgot who else it was, maybe Kanye, one of them. I can't recall, but mm-hmm. at about $6 or $7 mm-hmm. billion. Dollars. That $7 billion is a far cry from the 130 and 200 billion that all these other people have that made their money in tech. We need a black tech person to make that kind of money, and we're actually poised to do just that. And in addition to that, we'll be bringing up a whole bunch of other black people that look like us, making that money. Because everybody that was in Zuckerberg's team and group and at the initial stage, they're all right. millionaires and billionaires. And that just can't do anything but bring up our community. So that's what we're doing.
All right. All right, family. Y'all heard it right here. New day. So now.
Just go ourblacktruth.com.
Yes. We're going to open up some lines for you all. And again, I want to thank Brother Michael and his team for assisting us with the We Charge Genocide 21. This is how we're going to be able to obtain our signatures for the letter of intent. Remember, we told you all that those other people, they collect your data and they sell it. All right. And so we mm-hmm. waited until we were able to really do it the way we wanted to do it, which is, of course, to keep our own stuff. And we're not interested in selling it. Like Sister Tawanda, who was just on, I forgot to mention, she turned down $1 million. When they settled the civil suit for her brother's murder, you know, the family, of course, was offered money, and her name was on it, and so she would have gotten $1 million. But the thing was, they told her that she could no longer, talk about the case or whatever in a certain kind of way, and so she took her name off. She took it off, mm-hmm. and let the children, her mother and the children, she said she wanted to make sure that they were able to get what they needed to get. But she took her name off. So we're saying that we're dealing with that kind of integrity. MWM did the same thing. We let millions go. We could have then had everything we wanted and then some, but we turned it down. And we know for some that was like they thought we were out of our minds, but they don't understand the idea of integrity. But we do. Anyway, we're going to open up the lines for you all. And, of course, if you have a comment or a question, we're going to give you the opportunity to do that right about now. You can press 1. We certainly would love you to join in on the conversation. We're talking with
our brother Michael Thompson, who, of course, is talking to us about what's getting ready to happen. Finally, something for us, our Black truth. We're going to go to caller. You are at 9498. Hold on one moment. Let's get your mic open. And 9498, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Good evening. How you doing, Sister Filet? Can you hear me?
Yep. Hey, Brother Ray Ray. How you be tonight?
Hello. How you doing? And how you doing, family? How you doing, Sister Tawanda? Keep up the good fight.
Yes.
I wanted to ask, I'm going to send a text to Sister Tawanda on some information I want from somebody in Baltimore.
Okay.
Brother Thompson, sounds
yes,
good.
Sir.
Can't wait to put the first lecture of the Brooklyn William Mackey Jr.'s History Club on the website, on
right.
Facebook and on Facebook and YouTube. They are stopping a lot of information pertaining to the COVID-19. Even in the beginning, when they had a Caribbean brother with the aromatherapy treatment for COVID-19 with the orange pills and the sea salt and the ginger on how you could breathe it in, and it would clear up the nostrils and everything. And they, in 2 seconds, they took this brother off. And now it seemed like they had a meeting within Congress on these 12 people, like David Eckert and Lorraine Day and people like that. Would your website... Your website won't be taking any of that stuff off, would it?
Now, the way that we work, sir, is it's called Our Black Truth. So we're all about the truth. If somebody comes with something that's totally crazy and we already know that it's crazy, then, yeah, we'll let people know that it's crazy, but we're not going to take it down. The way that we operate is users can be rated. So if they have a 5-star rating, then chances are the information that they give is good, because you can see how many people gave them a review. You can see what the review is. And also, we ask people to not really believe or put too much credibility into some information that's given to them if the person has not been verified. So we have a verification process where we utilize the person's government ID to verify their identity and to make sure that the picture that they post matches the picture on their government ID. And that helps us to keep down a lot of the trolling that goes on. Is it 100% foolproof? No, but it'd be much better than anything else that's available today. So
talking about a government. I'm talking about people like InfoWars, Lorraine Day, even Robert Kennedy, and all these individuals that has been blocked, where they can't we had Dr. Lewis from our group put an excellent lecture from the Brooklyn William Mackey, and they took it down because he got into the real political aspect of the Center for Disease Corruption and the World Health Organization, and they took it down. What I am asking you, because you put a lot of emphasis on money and millionaires and all that, and once you, in my opinion, once you start going for the funds and not going for the truth, will that information be taken down, or are you going to let the truth be told and not have anybody be able to say, no, that's not right, that's this and that? Will you let the information be on there and let it stand? And if you want to believe it, you have a right to put your opinions and your research on our Black Truth, because Facebook and all them is snatching stuff off. Because if you say anything that's not cohesive to the CDC or the World Health Organization or Bill Gates and all these other crooks, then they will not allow it. All I'm asking is, will the information stand who puts it on there, or are you going to have people, because when people put stuff on there, they be on point. And here you're saying you're going to have people scrutinize it? That's all I want to know.
No.
Will the truth be told?
No, the truth will absolutely be told. That's why we had the verification system and all of that, so that you can make the decision of whether or not you believe what has been posted. That's the way it is. Everybody that wants to upload something, they can do so. And it's up to you to determine, based on their ratings, reviews, et cetera, whether or not you're going to believe them. So the short answer is you put up whatever you want. And then with regards to your comment about the millionaires and billionaires, right, what I'm saying is we need money. You can't do nothing without no funding. And you can sit there and say that we don't need money, but that's the key. That's the tool.
No.
Every other group of people. Right. So, so I'm going to make sure we're on the same page.
I understand what you mean when you say you need money. No problem. But when you were getting into the billionaires and creating millionaires and billionaires,
money has
a lot to do with it. But the truth has to be told, because I am ready to put part one and part two of the last lecture from the Brooklyn William Mackey Jr.'s History Club, where YouTube and Facebook snatched that thing off after 5 minutes of me putting it on there. They took it off with some bull that they considered. It's just that they considered that it wasn't cohesive to what they was doing, and it wasn't allowed, which was wrong.
Right.
You have a right to dissent.
So here's my thing, right? Go to whatever – what phone do you have? Do you have Android or Apple?
I have both.
Okay. Take either one of them phones, download the Our Black Truth video. Download the Our Black Truth video app.
I'm on it.
Okay.
I'm ready to download
it
as we speak.
Okay, good. And then go to COVID-19. Half of those videos have been banned by YouTube and Facebook.
Exactly.
They're on our platform.
Because there's a lot of stuff from other websites, InfoWars and this and that, who they ready to claim. If they don't like it, all of a sudden it's a conspiracy. The guy is nuts, or he's a fruitcake, when he's really has some substance in what he's saying.
Absolutely. Yes. I agree with you on that. Absolutely. I see that every day. And we're not blocking none of that.
I hate you. You know,
yes, sir.
That's all I want to know is, the long as it's out there, you know, y'all could deal with the money problems, the money, whatever you, long as the, my thing is the information is being out there to, in other words, say you put something out on the Boule.
Mm-hmm.
And some higher ups might not like it in some kind of way. They get in contact with the owners of the website, the Black Truth, and all of a sudden it ain't no Black Truth with it when you talk about certain organizations.
Right. You see, exactly. And I'll follow you totally with that, right? But that's not going to be the situation, because anything that is permissible under our rights as human beings and citizens of this country, we're putting it out there. We can speak. We have freedom of speech. So everybody that wants to put something on there, do it. We're not going to listen and let them bully us into taking it down.
Well, I'm really impressed with it, and I'm really impressed with what you're starting, and it sure sounds good, and it's a start. So thank you very much. Thank you, family. And the Brooklyn William Mackey Jr.'s History Club, I'm ready to put our brother Mike, who's doing part two on Hollywood and the criminal justice system. We're ready to put it on Facebook, YouTube, and Our Black Truth. I can't wait, and I hope it's a success so we could get rid
Thank
of
you.
YouTube and all them other Facebook with Jew man Zuckerberg and all them. You know, so thank you very much. I appreciate you. Thank you, Sister Philae, for having them on.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you, Brother Ray Ray. And I thank the William Mackey, the Brooklyn William Mackey Lecture Series for your donations and for all the folks who donate for our $2 Tuesday and other campaigns. We thank you all. Thank you, Brother.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to, hold on one moment. We're going to go to caller at 8279. 8279, your mic is open. Welcome to this segment of New Day.
Yes, greetings, peace, Empress.
Hey, Brother Captain, what's going on?
I'm grateful. I'm thankful. How are you? Peace to everybody on the call.
All right, all right.
Yes, yes.
Did you have a question or comment?
Just listening, you know what I mean?
Okay.
I pretty much get the gist of what's being said, you know what I mean, about the last part.
Okay, what are your thoughts about this new social networking for us, by us?
I think it's everything. I mean, I actually talked to a guy from Black Star Network. He's based out of St. Louis, and he actually has, you know, a platform like that for us, and where we can actually make money too off of it. But, our conversation was the same thing, like, you know, what the gentleman was saying, how those people just bullying us to take stuff down, and, you know, that's why we need our own network. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we have it.
And they scrutinizing more things more. They getting more petty on social media, like real petty, you know, ever since last year. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So if you have any slight difference in opinion with what, you know, the narrative is now, you in either Facebook jail or fact checkers disputing it, it's crazy.
So one of the things that Brother Michael pointed out that I'm really, really enthused about is that, you know, where we're talking about not censoring, but at the same time, we're also, you know, making certain that information is not put up there to degrade us. And so, you know, I'm hoping that folks won't see that as censoring, as opposed to, you know, us safeguarding our history and legacies in such a way that we're just not going to allow people to put stuff up there, like you said, the twerking and the, you know, showing the men showing their behinds and, you know, other kinds of you know, sexual kinds of stuff. That's not going to be on this platform. And, you know, I'm hoping that folks, you know, realize and think that that's not a form of censoring in that manner, but it is a way to safeguard our traditions, our history, you know, who and what we say we are, and also not to lump us in with degrading kinds of things.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think that's very, very important. And particularly, Brother Captain, as a black woman, I mean, I don't want to see our women displayed and girls displayed in a certain kind of manner. And we should no longer allow that. And so with our black troops, you know, they're telling us right up front that you're not going to be able, you're not going to go in there and see that nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Brother Michael,
yeah, wish those people
would take
that to Facebook.
Something you want to say about that? Yeah, go ahead, Brother Michael.
Yeah, we're telling people because I had a couple people make a comment about that, and I told them if they want to do those kind of things, go to Facebook, because this platform is about uplifting and educating our people, because we need to get out of this rut that we're in because we've been fed so much negativity about who we are. So we need to figure out who we truly are, not, you know, ex-slaves. We're not ex-slaves. We're ex-kings and queens. We're kings and queens now. So we have to condition our minds and wrap ourselves around that whole belief. So that's the reason for this.
Okay.
So, Captain, did I send you the promotional video? I think I did.
Empress, you're breaking up. I didn't hear you say it again.
Did I send you the promotional video? Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. No, I said it. I didn't get a promotion.
Okay. I'll make sure I send that to you.
Okay. Thank you. Cool.
Okay. And so please feel free to send it out to your network. I thought I sent it to you already, but I'll make sure that I do.
Yep. Yeah, I'll get it out, definitely.
Okay. Great. All right, my brother. Well, thank you much for your comment.
Thank you. Everybody have a
All
blessed
right.
night.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. So, again, family, we are really talking about, not just talking about it now, we're focusing on the launching of something that we've been talking about for quite a while, and now here it is. So, once again, Brother Michael, tell them what's going to happen on what date and how they can, again, get involved. And what can we do to support? How about that also?
Okay. Well, we're actually deploying on May 24th at 12 o'clock is our official launch. Right now we're in a soft launch, whereas the system is fully functional and you can kind of go around and check everything out. But May 24th, we're doing our official launch, and people can support us by downloading the app and actually getting on the system and using it, posting things, making comments, and interacting. That's the way to assist us. And we're looking for people all around the globe because, as I mentioned, we have servers in more than 47 countries, and we just like to test everything thoroughly, which we've been doing. And that's one of the things that make us a little different than some of the other platforms that do similar to what we're doing, is that we have, again, an enterprise architecture. And that's something that's been missing in the past and even to this day until we actually rolled this system out. So, so basically just spread the word, download the app, and comment and post. That's what we need. We need your support to do that in order for this to grow and to really expand and for everybody to actually use it to learn, because there's a lot of great information on these platforms. You can learn about biblical history. You can learn about, COVID-19. You can learn about Somalia and, like, how they talk about Somalians are pirates and all that kind of stuff. I used to believe that these Somalians that raided these ships and all that kind of stuff, I used to think that they were wrong. But then when I looked at the history, they're justified. And we cover stuff like that to let you know that these people are totally justified in their actions to this very minute. And it really changed my perspective. So we have a lot of content out there that really gives you the truth. We also talk about African people being in North America as early as 2,500 years ago. And they were actually here before Christ ever walked this earth. And we have the documented evidence from universities around the world stating this. But this information has been hidden from us because we've been here. So, some of us came later on, but we've been here for a long time. And we talk about those kind of things.
Wow.
So everybody can benefit.
Okay.
So let me ask you, I was And family, again, if you have any questions or comments, please press 1 now, because I certainly have a whole bunch of questions, but I want to give folks the opportunity to get theirs in, for example. So now with YouTube, Brother Michael, they have the capability to do like live stream, or what they call Facebook Live or what have you, rather. So will we be able to do that?
Okay. On our YouTube-like platform, once we launch, you'll be able to do a live stream, and this is on the YouTube-like platform. But on a platform that's more like Facebook, you will not be able to live stream initially. The technology is there, but what we're working through right now is the actual economic model to make that work, because, see, Facebook can make it work because they're selling your information.
Right.
So
right.
We need to figure out how do we pay for all that bandwidth and transit across the globe. So technically, yes, we can do it. It's already built into the system, but I really see us not deploying it until probably midsummer.
Okay. So the other question is also, what about advertising? Because, of course, again, Facebook does advertising. What about for Our Black Truth? Are you going to be doing advertising? And if so, will it be exclusively advertising for Black folks, or how's that going to work?
Okay. The way it works is we do have advertising, just like all the other platforms. And no, it's not exclusive to Black people only, but the thing is, Black businesses get a discounted rate.
Okay.
So that's what we want to really promote Black businesses, buy Black and, you know, from Black businesses. But when we're trying to build this so that we can have companies like Best Buy and Walmart come to us and want to get on the platform, and then we'd be able to tell them, you need to give us an additional 5% discount, 10% discount to our users, because we're the gateway to the Black community. Y'all been using us all this time, so give us better pricing than what you have in your store.
Right. Gotcha.
And plus,
all right.
Yeah, so that's how we want to do that. There has to be some kind of benefit for us as a people. We need the benefit.
Right. And that's really good business, actually, because we do know that our folks are going to buy from, you know, various large companies. And so it's in our best interest to strategize and think about how we can really maneuver that a little better for our best interest. Because, again, they're going to purchase there anyway. So for Our Black Truth to be in the position to be able to say, well, look, we want 5, 10% for our subscribers or those that are using our platform, that's good business.
See, absolutely, because we need to really make sure that we get back something. So that's really what it's all about for our people.
Wow. Okay. Are there any other future features that you can share with us at this point? I know there's a bunch of stuff that's coming, but are there any other possible features that you can share with us at this point?
Well, one of the things that I didn't talk about is our community advisory board, which I consider a feature as well, because our community advisory board is made up of 33 people, and they're all experts in different areas. We have, everyone's heard of Dr. Sebi. We have Marietta Thompson, no relation, but she worked under Dr. Sebi for more than 29 years. She knows everything that he knew, and she's on our board. And see, she's one of the people that produces content that goes on Our Black Truth. And then we also have professors of agriculture. We have people in technology. We have like bank presidents that are part of this advisory board. Let me see what else here. We have professors of African history. We have a team that's strong enough where we can drop that entire team into their own nation and they could thrive, because that was the intent when that board was built. Build a group of people that could build their own nation. And that's what we have. And these are the people that guide the direction of Our Black Truth. So that's one of the interesting features that we have. And then we also have other products coming out later on this year, we have our own Zoom, our own WhatsApp, our own TikTok. We have all these platforms we created and own. Yes. And these things are already finished, but you can only do one thing at a time. So we want to make sure that we are the powerhouse when it comes to technology, not just black, but all technology, because we're going to put the world on notice. That's our goal.
Wow. So, wow. Yeah. Hey, now, and I didn't even know that. So you're saying that we'll be able to use something like Zoom, but that we have, that we're the orchestrator of or the administrator of? Meaning black folks?
The system is actually called Yibo, which is an African word. And so basically we have that as our own Zoom. And then we also have a platform called Walimu, which is a educational platform through your mobile device and your computer. And we also have our Black Cinema, which is our equivalent of Netflix, because I've negotiated content deals with all the major movie studios, and we're already in discussions right now with some major actors to place their content on our platform. And then there's so much more that we have.
Wow. This is really, really something. Okay, I just got two more questions. And family, I'm surprised you all don't have any questions. I'm like, wow, really? But hey, I know I got some. So I got two more. One is, are there investors? Meaning, is it open for investors?
What we're doing, my brother and I, he is the co-founder. We've been funding this ourselves over the last 3 years that we've been actually working on this thing actively. But we are always looking for investors, and we're planning to eventually go public. But when we go public, what we're going to do is we're only going to reserve 30% of the shares for other nationalities to purchase, but 70% has to stay within the black community.
Wow, yes. Wow, wonderful.
All right.
Okay, well, my last question is this. So how did you get involved in technology? What inspired you to get involved in technology?
Okay, well.
It's obvious you have a vast, you know, you just definitely know what's going on and what to do and how to do it. But tell us a little bit about that, because we want to start, particularly with the younger folk, you know, how do we begin to, well, first part of that is how you, of course, got inspired to get so involved in technology. And then the second part of that question is, what can we do for our people to get more into utilizing technology that's going to benefit us?
Okay. Well, I got into technology because I grew up in Fairfax County, Virginia, which at the time was either the number one or number two richest county in the country. And my parents didn't earn a lot of money, you know, and, you know, I lived in an area that was all black people. I lived in an apartment complex where it was just about, I would say, 95% black. And growing up around all these rich people, I'm like, how come they're rich, their families, they can do whatever they want, and mine can't? So, you know, I looked at what my dad did. My dad worked a regular 40-hour week job. But then I looked at all my white friends, and I found the commonality. They all own businesses. So when I saw that, I said to myself, I need to figure out what I'm good at. And then I needed a job one day, and I ended up going to work for AT&T. And this was in 84. So when I went to work for AT&T, that's when I got exposed to mainframe computers and all that kind of stuff. And then I realized that I was good at it. So then I moved from there, and I went to work for a company called Quantum Computer Services. So then they filed bankruptcy, and then they came back, and they changed their name from Quantum Computer Services to America Online. So I was at America Online very early, and my job was policing the bulletin board, which is the equivalent of a chat room. And from there, I went to work for various companies, and they offered me technology training. So I became Cisco certified, Lucent certified, Microsoft certified. Every certification you can think of, I pretty much had. And once I got all that training, white people, you know, I hate to say white people, but they could not believe that I had the experience and knowledge that I had acquired. And I became just very good at what I did. And then when the year 2000 came around and the whole Y2K thing came, people sought me out because they thought the whole world was going to crash as far as computers go. So I was billing people $500 an hour, $600 an hour, all that craziness. So I just decided to stay in technology because that was my area of expertise. And then one of my friends was complaining about how his phone service and cable kept going out where he lived. And we were outside in the dead of winter. And within an hour of talking about it, I came up with an architecture. And this architecture was a way to deliver voice, video, and data across copper lines. And then that's what I ended up selling and eventually becoming vice president at Verizon. And then it just snowballed from there and did work for the federal government and everybody else. So it was just getting certifications, training, and learning. I would work 8 hours a day, and then I would come home and spend another 8 hours on a computer until I mastered it. And that's how I got to this point. So, and then the second part. And then the second part of your question, the answer is, what can we do to get into technology and those kind of things? We need to put emphasis on learning technology because technology rules the world. We have no choice but to learn it, but we're being distracted by those in power. They don't want us to know that we really need to embrace technology, and they want to keep us busy dancing. They want to keep us busy in sports. They want to keep us busy doing things that does not allow us to be self-sustaining. But we need to, as a people, take responsibility and get into technology, get into medicine, get into food, because we need that. And we need to get into money, understanding what it is and how it really works, because 99% of people don't. So once we get into those four things, like all these other groups of people, then we'll start to see a big difference in how we live, because we're unlimited in our capability. And I'm not trying to be boastful or anything, but we are, I mean, we have more capability than anybody else on the planet. We just need to understand and embrace that because we were the original people and we've done so much and contributed so much to this world against all odds. So that speaks for itself and it's still in us. So we just got to embrace it and just get away from the foolishness.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right. So I did have one more question. I thought I didn't, but I have another. And it's about coding. I'm seeing a lot of, you know, advertising and articles and so forth about coding. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Because I'm really thinking about taking some classes in that. And so what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, if you want to get into coding, one of the best things from my experience to learn is what they call PHP or some variation of PHP, because once you understand PHP, you can develop any kind of website or app. And it is totally compatible with every system out here. So if I were to start brand new today, it would be to learn PHP. It's very powerful, very easy to use, and works on every platform. And when you get into coding, it kind of changes your thought process across the board with everything because you have to think logically and things have to go in order. And see, in my experience, what that did was when I started researching various things, like when I look at history, when I look at the Bible, when I look at anything, there has to be a logical order to it. And programming helped me to see these things and to have a better understanding to determine what the truth is and what it's not, because it gives you structure, it gives you discipline and logic. So that's a kind of a side effect of learning how to code.
Okay. So do you think that would be a good area to start children or young folk?
Oh, absolutely. Because, see, right now our problem is we're consumers and not creators of this technology. It's the creator that's the one benefiting, and their people are benefiting. And the users are the ones being used. And we have to flip their paradigm. We have to become the creators of all these things that we use, because we're the biggest users of social media when it comes to percentage-wise. So why don't we own our own social media platform until now? We should have been owned it.
Absolutely.
So we need to step it up as a people, and I'm willing to try to help do my part, and we need everybody else to join in.
All right. Well, certainly this to me is a win-win situation. I am certainly looking forward to it. Again, the launching date that's coming up, and folks, again, can go to the website or just put in your search bar, and you'll start pulling information up. Family, we're going to put it out there one more time to you. If you have a question or a comment, now is the time to press one and you can get it in. I'm surprised I haven't seen my boards light up, because this is powerful. I mean, this is really, really powerful. So I'm not sure what's keeping you all from not answering or asking questions, but I see Brother Ray Ray got another question, so we're going to come back to him. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, Brother Ray Ray, go ahead with your question or comment.
Listen, I am so impressed with the brother. I am so impressed with what he went through with learning all that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for the ETF or the mutual fund. Just let me know. I am impressed that you're going up against, and we can beat them. We can beat them, because you are 100% right. Black folks use that stuff like 90 going north, and people are making money selling stuff on Marketplace with Facebook. They're selling everything, and I am ready, you know, whatever. I'm impressed. Just thank you very much.
Thank you very much
for going through what you done went through, learning all that, and just giving some hope that we could beat them. If we join this, we can beat them and get our stuff right and get that history right and whatever.
That's right, man. And look. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm about to say, look me up when you create your account. Look me up. Message me, man, so we can stay in touch.
Oh, yeah. And I'm ready to put in a couple of dollars investment, ETF, whatever you want, because this is something that...
All right.
Dr. Mackey, Dr. Clark, all the forgotten heroes, Amos Wilson always said it, and it could be controlled by us, and I am impressed. And thank you, Sister Filet, for having them on, and it's just good. Just thank you.
Man, thank you so much. Thank you for that. Yeah, reach out to me, and we can talk about, you know, everything, and I'd like to definitely keep in touch, though. So, cool. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Brother Ray Ray. All right. See, family, that's what we're talking about. With what we're building, you can tell, you know, we're going to take care of business, but this is also about family, community, and nation building. And we're doing it one-on-one. That's why I like the way myself, MWM, Brother Ray Ray, and other brothers and sisters are doing what we do, and that is directly with our people. I mean, we can build and are building major apparatuses, but best believe we will always be linked to our people on the ground level, and that indicates, you know, what it is that is really necessary and authentic. By the way, just want to remind everyone again, Call Going Out to Black Women, and you will see this very soon on our new website coming for October. Of course, MWM 24-year anniversary is coming. Well, we're getting ready to really bring it to y'all. We've been telling you for a while. We've been working hard and building through, you know, all kinds of adversity, but nevertheless, we have persevered, and now we bring you the Black Print, Agenda 25. And with that said, now, we've given you some information, history, and of course, Brother Michael, I'll send this to you if you don't know already, that 70 years ago, some serious Black women put a call out called, it was then named the Call to Negro Women. Again, this was 1951, but this was serious Black women from all walks of life representing almost every aspect of struggle, and they put the call out to Black women, and one of the major things was to demand a meeting with the President of the United States. Did you know about that, Brother Michael?
I had no idea.
See?
None.
Well, it is true. Again, a call went out, the great Bea Richards. It was really inspired by a poem. So see, this is so important. Bea Richards, this grand Black woman, not only was a profound actress or dramatist, she was a writer. She was a poet. She was just incredible. Anyway, she wrote this poem about Black women and inspired so many Black women, they decided to really do something. So the call went out. It was titled The Call to Negro Women. And what that entailed was they had a conference, but it also entailed a demand to meet with the President of the United States to talk about the violence and abuse of Black women and girls, but also the horror, the terror of Black people, period. That's right. This is what some serious Black women did in 1951. Well, MWM is putting a call out to Black women in 2021, and now that there is a so-called person of color as vice president, we're demanding a meeting with both President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. And our agenda has four areas. Of course, the terrorism, the violence and abuse by police and government. Also, the increased violence and abuse of our women and girls nationwide, sex trafficking, for example, murders. Right there in Chicago, finding 70 Black women murdered in Chicago, and they're just starting to talk about it. So this is going on all over the country, and we want to begin to get some answers and what we're going to do about it. But also, we want to talk about our political prisoners. That's right. Here in the U.S., we have political prisoners. We want our political prisoners free. And, of course, we're talking about reparatory justice, we charge genocide. So those are the four things that we're going to be looking to discuss with the President of the United States, given the fact that they both have said it's Black women that really played a major role in getting them in office. Well, we're saying, wonderful. So now what? This is what we want. So again, sisters, if you all are interested, it's particularly if you're representing in a certain kind of way, then you can join this delegation to meet with the President of the United States. All right. What do you think about that, Brother Michael?
Hey, I love that. See, I like when we pull together because there's power in numbers. You know,
absolutely.
And that's what we need.
Absolutely. But not just power in numbers, because I'm going to tell you, I did the number thing, having brought 2.5 million together. Let me tell you what I've learned from that. There has to be what's known as a critical mass or a critical nucleus, because while there are power in numbers, there also has to be a degree of that that's really serious. You see? And so we've learned from our experiences that now we must have a critical mass, a nucleus that is unapologetic, will not sell us out, etc. And that's what this group is going to now help us to develop further, because, you know, these sisters that we're saying that we're going to meet with the president, again, now, don't get me wrong, we're not delusional, meaning, you know, we're not saying, oh, we're going to meet with the president, the vice president, and expect, you know, all this grandiose stuff. No. It's a maneuver. It's a tactic. It's a strategic move. It will position us for several other things, including the Million Woman Party. We need our own political party. You see, that will create an agenda for any of these parties. You see, this is what Brother Malcolm taught us. So we have to be creative, and we have to be extremely, extremely, focused to do what we know needs to be done strategically. So again, this is something that we're going to be introducing for MWM24. We're going to do our summit at the end of September that leads us into October. And with that, the meeting with the president and the vice president. Now note, for those who will send you the research if you can't find it on what happened in 1951, they did not meet with the president, but a representative was sent. So you figure it's 1951, you know, they'll play you. Well, we hope they don't try it with us. We don't want a representative. We want to meet, since they said black women were key and them getting elected, we are saying don't be sending us no representative. Come talk to us yourself. Okay? So if nothing else is going to make good press.
That's it.
And again, we now have a platform, family, that we can make certain that the masses of our people can stay abreast of what's going on, what we're doing, and others. And we're talking about our black truth. Oh, my gosh. We're going to be ready for this, Brother Michael.
Hey, absolutely. No doubt.
Because you know we're going to video it and all of that. And just, oh, now we got a place we can post it and
that's right. We're going to broadcast it all over.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. All right, family. Well, we're going to go one more. I think Brother Captain has one more question or comment. And again, if anyone else does, we got like four more minutes. We're going to go back to Brother Captain real quick and get his closing comment. And okay, Brother Captain, you got the closing comments for tonight.
Yes, thank you. I'm definitely going to support everything the brother is doing with the technology. Like you said, that's what's needed. And Empress, you know, that's an interest of mine when you were talking about with the history. So I'm excited about it, and I want to salute you, and I'm with you, brother. You got my support, and I'm going to get it out there to the people.
Man, hey, thank you, man. I really appreciate that. And, hey, and you too, man. Whenever you sign up and create your account, make sure you drop me a little message so we can stay in touch.
I'm going to definitely do that, brother. I'm excited.
All right. Man,
thank you.
So thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right. All right, Brother Captain, thank you. Yes, you as well, my brother.
Okay.
All right, family. Well, you all can see and hear, brother, what it is we're doing and building. And we got some stuff coming for you again. New Day Resurrection is now approaching its 14th straight year. So you know we're looking forward to now upgrading or moving to the next level. And with our black truth, we are, hey, they got Patreon out there. They got YouTube out there. Well, as soon as our black truth is launched, you're going to hear New Day, MWM, and other entities coming forward with some of our more advanced programming and so forth. So stay tuned, okay? All right, family, we're going to get ready to close the session out. Before we do, we're going to go back to Brother Michael Thompson is with us, and we're going to get his closing comments for tonight. And I want to remind you all again, this weekend we will be doing our fourth virtual Reparatory Justice Conference online, and you'll be getting a lot of information about what's coming up with the We Charge Genocide 21 Project. It is definitely on the way. Brother Michael, your closing comments for tonight.
All right. My closing comment is this. We are in a real precarious position in that right now, 9 out of 10 African or African descended people utilize Facebook during emergencies. And if there's ever a racial emergency and they decide we don't want them communicating, we can be shut down. That's another reason why every black person should embrace our black truth, because that's going to be the only platform available if there was ever a racial situation that took place, because they own everything else. So that's my closing comment, and I just ask everyone to support the platform at ourblacktruth.com or go to the Google Play Store or the App Store and download the app.
All right, all right. Well, family, you all heard it right here. And again, we'll be launching the We Charge Genocide 21 project. We'll have its website ready for you to begin to put your signature, your name on the letter of intent. Okay, and we're going to tell you more about that this weekend. Of course, Brother Michael, thank you so much for joining us this week for a new day, and certainly we thank you for your input, for helping us to further develop our We Charge Genocide 21 site. We're certainly looking forward to partnering with you in the future. And hey, family, what can we say? We just want to recap one thing real quick. I forgot to mention, last month we were supposed to tell you about something that's happening, and we'll give you more information about it next week. But we are looking to develop something with the Curtis Institute of Music here in Philadelphia. For those who do not know, Nina Simone, Empress Nina Simone, if I may, is one of our 20 sister saints. And for each one of the 20 sister saints, we, of course, have created some kind of activity, program, initiative, and one of them is for Philadelphia, which is said that when Nina Simone applied to go there, she was turned down because, of course, she was black. She, of course, was a child prodigy, and she was, her dream was to become a concert pianist, and they shattered her dreams. And so we're picking that mantle up and saying to the Curtis Institute, we want a scholarship fund in her name. So we'll tell you more about that next week, along with some other things. And again, Brother Michael, give our folks one more time where they can go to sign on to become a part of our Black Truth.
Yes, go to Google Play and you enter Our Black Truth. When you do a search, then you'll see both of our apps right there, the one for social and the other for video. And you can do the same thing at the App Store. Just search for Our Black Truth and both platforms will come up. Or you can go to the website at ourblacktruth.com. That's ourblacktruth.com.
All right. All right, family, we're going to close this session out again. And, hey, what can we say? We thank you all for tuning in to this session of New Day. And we thank Brother Michael, of course, for joining us, and Sister Tawanda, and, of course, Brother Captain, Brother Ray Ray, and all of you who are tuned in our podcast and certainly on our internet line. We thank all of you. We'll be back next week, same time. And again, if you want more information about NWM, the We Charge Genocide 21 Project, or anything else that we talked about tonight or at some other point, you can just email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. This weekend, We Charge Genocide 21 Reparatory Justice Virtual Conference. If you want more information, just email us, or you can text us at area code 267 636
2673802. Again, 267-636-3802. All right, family, we're going to close this session out. Brother Michael, thank you again. And family,
thank you so much.
We'll be back next week. And you know, we always say we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you in the spirit of Ma'aden Hotep. But remember, there will never be any real peace until, meaning Hotep, until there's truly Ma'atic justice. Because we say this, brother, if there's no justice, there certainly will be no peace. All right, family, till next time, promote you to the Shinda. Together shall win. Peace out.